Is DeSantis versus Simon?
Please the court. My name is Donald Lake, L-A-K-E, on behalf of petitioner John Simon. Justices, this case is about discovery of statutorily protected materials submitted to, considered by, and created by the Board of Medical Examiners. There are two statutory constructs at play here. The first is 1236.118.10, which is in the Medical Practices Act. The Medical Practices Act in that subsection provides that investigations of the Board of Medical Examiners of a physician's conduct and all records related thereto shall be exempt from public disclosure. The plain language of this statute, as agreed upon by the Board of Medical Examiners itself, which submitted an amicus brief and which interpretation of that statute is entitled to deference, says that records, including medical records, including submissions by a physician, including records produced by the Board of Medical Examiners itself, shall not be open, shall be exempt from any law requiring public disclosure.
May I ask a question right here? Just because maybe this will draw it down for me what the issue is. Long back, didn't we decide with regard to the Public Records Act and Open Meetings Act that although those statutes barred public disclosure or didn't require it, or said those were certain records would not be subject to public disclosure, nevertheless, that wouldn't affect litigation and whether those records would be subject to discovery. And in fact, I'm thinking Martinelli and that line of cases since then. We made pretty clear, didn't we, that simply a statute that says records will not be subject to open meetings or public disclosure does not grant a privilege, and therefore something further is required in terms of a balancing in the trial court in deciding whether to grant discovery. Could you address how this statute plays into that line of cases?
This is distinct because in cases involving Open Records Act requests specifically, and in fact in statutes addressing disclosure under the Open Records Act, such as the Accountancy Act, these are other regulatory boards, the Nursing Act, there is an express provision addressing the Colorado Open Records Act and allowing for open records requests to be denied, but then having a separate distinction from the rules of civil procedure. Here, we have a blanket non-disclosure requirement, shall be exempt from any law requiring disclosure of records of investigations of the Board of Medical Examiners. Again, let me step back just a moment and state to the court that this is not a circumstance where Dr. Simon seeks to withhold any document, any record concerning his care of Virginia DeSantis underlying the subject lawsuit. All medical records created contemporaneously by all medical providers, including Dr. Simon, have been provided. Dr. Simon sat for deposition and answered plaintiff's counsel's questions concerning the reasons and bases for his decisions. This isn't a case of non-disclosure. This isn't a case of withholding. For example, in the recent case, Cardenas, where the court addressed a circumstance of attorney-client privilege, where an attorney had gone to interview fact witnesses immediately after an adverse medical outcome and then claimed attorney-client privilege to withhold that information, the court found that because those fact witnesses had contemporaneous information that pertained to the lawsuit, that information, the facts of that information, although not the attorney's opinions concerning his interviews, needed to be disclosed.
Mr. Lake, let me interrupt you before you go. I've had this question. Are these documents even in your possession to disclose?
Some are.
Well, how did that happen, if they're confidential even to your client?
The only records that are in my possession to disclose are records created by Dr. Simon.
The ones that he gave to the board?
Yes.
And he hasn't disclosed those, or he has?
He has disclosed a privilege log, asserting that Colorado Revised Statute 1218.110 and also 1236.5.104 preclude him from disclosing those records.
Okay, and there are other records which were, I suppose, created by the activity of the board, the investigation and whatnot?
Well, that's right, and actually...
Then those would include what kinds of things? Interviews, what?
I frankly don't know.
Okay, and are those other documents, let's call them, are they even in your possession to disclose?
They're not. But, Justice Rice, if this court were to decide that Colorado Revised Statute 1236.118.10 did not apply to civil discovery, then those records would be discoverable.
But who would give them?
Well, the Board of Medical Examiners would give them. And in fact...
Is the Board of Medical Examiners a party here?
They're not. But the Board of Medical Examiners does routinely receive subpoenas for information related to their investigations of physician conduct, and they routinely move to suppress that information.
Well, we have an amicus brief from the Board of Medical Examiners, but they're not a party. Their amicus brief is taking the position that they should not have to disclose those records.
That's right, and that is consistent with Dr. Simon's position. The amicus brief also takes the position that Dr. Simon's own documents that he created in response to an inquiry by the Board of Medical Examiners should not be disclosed. The policy behind that, which this court recognized in addressing the peer review statute in the context of the Committee on Anti-Competitive Conduct, is that were a physician to be required to submit a candid, complete, insightful, and self-critical response to a Board of Medical Examiners or a peer review committee where peer review function is at issue, then that would chill the physician's response to all such inquiries. If a physician is trying to comport with the public policy of improving his or her own medical practice, protecting the public, then that physician will be candid and will state, for example, I could have done this better. I could have changed my practice this way. I could have documented my reasons for that better. All of that.
Well, I guess when you say these positions are consistent, that is, the Dr. Simon's and the Board of Medical Examiners, you're talking about result and the underlying policy considerations, I gather. It seems as though, however, the basis for the analytical process of getting there, the argument itself, is very different. Would you like to comment on that?
Respectfully, it's not different. The analytical process of getting there is construing the statute as it's plainly stated on its face. 118.10, subsection 118.10 states that investigations, and I'm paraphrasing, and all records of investigations of the Board of Medical Examiners into a physician's conduct shall be exempt from any law requiring public disclosure. That language is the exact language that the Board of Medical...
I need to go back to Justice Rice's question because I'm having some problem with the discussion right now, and that is, are you trying to shield documents that were handed over to the land board by your medical... This isn't the water case?
No.
Gotta be. But by the medical board, submissions of the doctor having to do with the patient's condition and the decision-making, are you trying to shield those documents?
We are trying to shield, in this case, the answer is very broad, actually. Those documents are included in what not Dr. Simon is trying to shield, but in what the statute shields and what the legislature.
No, that wasn't the answer to my question. You started off saying you weren't trying to withhold anything having to do with the patient's condition or, you know, anything having to do with that, and now it seems you are, in fact. So which is it?
There's a distinction, and I do understand the Justice's question. Justice Hobbs, the answer is, first, all medical records that were created pertaining to this patient's care have been provided, first. Second, Dr. Simon has sat for a deposition and has responded to all questions posed by plaintiff's attorney concerning the reasons for his decision-making and the basis of his medical care. Then we turn to the question of the self-assessment that is required in an investigation by the Board of Medical Examiners. And it is that self-assessment, the function, the purpose of which is distinct from the civil litigation process. They may be both about finding the truth, but the civil litigation process is distinct in that the purpose of the Medical Practice Act is...
I think you're getting one step ahead of yourself. Well, all we really want to know is, what documents are we talking about? So you made a privilege log of the documents which were created by your doctor and given to the board. You gave the privilege log to the other party, but not the documents.
Correct.
And this case is about turning over the documents that were denoted in the privilege log.
Justice Rice, I was getting ahead of myself.
But let me, and now let me just ask you one more question. But there's a whole other set of documents out there that belongs or was created by the board, right?
Correct.
You don't have those documents. You can't turn them over.
That's correct.
The board's not a party here.
That's correct.
So the board might find interesting our decision, but we can't, in this case at least, order the board to turn over those documents. Is that right?
That is right.
All right, so all this case is about is the documents created by your client.
That's not entirely true.
All right, tell me how that's incorrect.
The documents created by my client are part of the record that was submitted to the Board of Medical Examiners. This is the insight, though, why did I do what I do and how
right,
I
we got it.
There's also medical records. There's also records pertaining to four other people that are not party to this case.
Which were given to the board as part of the self-assessment?
As part of an investigation by the board into Dr. Simon's care of other patients. Dr. Simon...
Who created those documents?
Well, Dr. Simon created some of them. Some of them were created by other healthcare providers and then were assembled by Dr. Simon at the board's request and submitted to the board in its investigation of his medical care provided to other care.
Okay, so those documents are in the possession of Dr. Simon's?
Yes.
So that's a third category of documents?
Yes. And there are four patients about whose care Dr. Simon has been publicly admonished. There were another five patients about whose care Dr. Simon was investigated, and it was determined that no admonishment was necessary. And this information, again, is all contained in the privilege log, where Dr. Simon candidly says, I've been investigated for care of patient A, B, C, D, etc., and the plaintiffs have the information that is made publicly available by the Board of Medical Examiners about all of these patients concerning whose care they had a concern about Dr. Simon. That was somewhat inartfully stated. But the point is, it's not just Dr. Simon's medical record about this patient that's being sought by plaintiffs in this case. There are many other patients who didn't put their care at issue in this case, who may not even have filed a complaint with the board. Many of the board's referrals come from hospitals, come from other healthcare providers.
So let me follow up on that. So this is not entirely, this discovery dispute is not entirely then just simply about documents created by the board.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, I think all of us are having trouble figuring out what this is, and sometimes that happens when you take cases on 21s, but in any event, so what you are trying to not have to produce is documents you gave to the board and other documents which are in your possession which have to do with your doctor being sued by other people.
Well, no, not sued by other people. They are documents pertaining to board investigations that were collected by my doctor, by Dr. Simon, in response to board investigations, And then he prepared a self-evaluation as required by the board concerning these other patients. He wasn't sued.
Okay, so in every instance, though, there are, the investigation was at the behest of the board?
That's correct. That's correct. And it is this process of collecting documents and having the physician submit to the board what it was that he did with respect to these patients, these people who have become the subject of investigation of Dr. Simon's care. It is his candid self-assessment that Dr. Simon, that the board seeks to have protected and that the legislature does protect by the plain meaning of Colorado Revised Statute 1236.118.10.
Counsel, before you move on, I'm just rounding back to Justice Martinez's question then. Do you agree with the board that we don't have to decide whether or not the board is a peer review committee? Do you agree with that position? Or should we look at the peer review statute?
The court need not reach the decision of whether the Board of Medical Examiners is a peer review organization to answer the justice question. However, there is support for Dr. Simon's argument found in the peer review statute. The purpose of the board's investigation into physicians' conduct is the same as the purpose of the peer review committee's investigation into physicians' conduct, and that is to protect patients from improper conduct. And the legislature has decided that none of that information may be obtainable in civil discovery. I'm out of time.
Thank you.
There are no further questions. I thank this court.
Good morning, Justices. I'm Anthony Bjorst, and I'm here on behalf of the plaintiffs in this matter, who are the respondents in this proceeding. Just a couple brief factual issues first. We offered to redact the names of any other patients in Dr. Simon's records, and we stand by that. I do believe that's appropriate. The names should not be disclosed, and we are perfectly amenable to that. Another factual issue I just want to bring the court's attention. Yes, Dr. Simon has sat for a deposition. At that deposition, we agreed to exclude any discussion of the medical board records pending this decision. But it's interesting that he's taking a contrary position, because in the medical board, he apparently gave up his license, but now he's saying he didn't do anything wrong with regard to our client, Ms. DeSantis, who was a subject of the medical board examination. So he's taking contrary positions. And among other reasons, we believe that the medical board records would be discoverable to impeach him.
You're not talking the boards held by the board themselves, are you? You're only talking about the records created by the doctor and in his possession.
That's correct. That's all we have requested in this case. That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you, you made the statement that these are all records prepared in response to the Board of Medical Examiner's investigation of your client. But you don't really know that, do you? I mean, the board could have instigated a request for investigation on many other clients.
We have asked for all the records in his possession relating to Board of Medical Examiner's investigations.
Yes, but I thought you said in respect to his client, your client, and in fact, it could be, as he's described, a total of 9 other patients.
I agree that there are other people. But right. Virginia DeSantis is clearly one of the people
right.
who was whose care was investigated. But yes, there are additional people.
Okay, and so now you're going to tell us why the statute is not an absolute bar.
I will. That's correct.
Before you go there, if you could just answer, I understand your answer about what is actually at issue in this case concerning records that Dr. Simon has. But I guess to the extent that our resolution of this case depends on the analysis of 118.10, isn't it true that implicates or impacts all the records of the medical board?
Theoretically, it could. It could. I mean, it depends how broad or narrow your opinion is. But
well,
yes.
Perhaps in the ongoing discussion, I would like to have you move on to the question that's before you. But you can talk about the narrowness or the broadness of that in terms of its implication.
I will, Your Honor. Thank you. All right. So 118.10 provides, in relevant part, that Investigations, examinations, hearings, meetings, or any other proceedings of the board conducted pursuant to the provisions of this section shall be exempt from the provisions of any law requiring that proceedings of the board be conducted publicly or that the minutes or records of the board with respect to action of the board taken pursuant to the provisions of this section be open to public inspection. And it's our position that really it's the last part of that phrase that's really the germane one. We believe that open to public inspection, as Justice Coates said at the beginning of the last argument, is not synonymous with prohibiting any subpoena or discovery of those documents. And I would contrast that with the peer review statute, 1236.5-104-10, which says the records of a professional review committee shall not be subject to subpoena or discovery and shall not be admissible in any civil suit brought against a physician who is the subject of such records. So you can't subpoena them, you can't discover them, you can't bring them up in a civil suit. That is much more narrow, that is much more specific, and there's no doubt that you can't get those records. And that's been litigated, it's been decided, and it's not subject to any sort of legitimate dispute. On the other hand, open to public inspection is a broader term, and we would concur with what Justice Coates said earlier, which is, doesn't that just mean, yeah, members of the public can't go in and randomly inspect these documents? They're not subject to a FOIA request. But it doesn't mean that a civil litigant who cannot subpoena those documents can get them. And if you want to impose a sort of Martinelli test, if you will, a balancing test, we're amenable to that as well.
And a protective order which would say that these matters can't be disclosed and could
yes.
be utilized only for the purposes of this litigation.
We're amenable to that. Yes, sir. Absolutely. But we don't believe that those in the legislature, as Judge Enzer and the district court said, if the legislature had meant for these documents not to be discoverable in any fashion, they could have easily said what they said in the peer review statute. You can't subpoena them, you can't discover them, you can't mention them in a civil suit. That's very straightforward, easy language. They didn't put it in there. Well, I'll get to the policy in just a moment, but we would ask this court to find, as a matter of statutory construction, that the language of the Medical Practice Act does not preclude discovery of these documents under a balancing test or a protective order or whatever other conditions you want to impose, but it does not completely prohibit disclosure the way the peer review statute does.
Mr. Viewers?
Yes, sir.
As a matter of just statutory construction, why doesn't records of the board with respect to action of the board, doesn't that really refer to just, you know, what actually happened as opposed to the detail,
well,
all that?
I mean, it's sort of a ambiguous statute. And yes, that may even just refer to what they did as opposed to what they looked at. I agree. I mean, I'm not necessarily prepared to make that argument today because I think that's too subtle a distinction for today's purposes. And I don't want to necessarily get in an argument with the Board of Medical Examiners as opposed to simply with Dr. Simon. You know, I think that's certainly a valid interpretation, Your Honor, yes, that it has to do with what they did and not what they looked at. So yes, I would agree that that is a possible interpretation of the statute as well. All right, so let's talk about public policy for a moment, Your Honors. The board argues that allowing discovery could impede its investigations. We suggest that Dr. Simon argues that as well. We suggest that argument is flawed for several reasons. First of all, the doctor has the same motive to be truthful or untruthful with the board that he has with the court. I mean, if you go to a deposition, you're subject to perjury, potential perjury charge. If you lie in court, you're subject to potential perjury charge, just as you are in front of the board. The repercussions are equally bad in a court of law as they are potentially in front of the board. So I would suggest there's really no different motive for the defendant to be open and honest with the board than there would be in a civil proceeding. I suggest the Franco case is distinguishable, which the court talked about killing the investigations, because the Franco case concerned hospital peer review organizations, and those are different because those have to do with the colleagues of the doctor who work with him on a day-to-day basis.
I'm concerned about this statement that has to be prepared, this self-assessment, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to contain admissions against interest, you know, that would be highly pertinent. And obviously, they want, You know, that's a problem, because that's a work product generated for the purpose of the investigation and the examination, isn't it?
I don't believe that the work product rule would apply. It's not litigation.
Well, no, I'm not talking about work product rule. I'm talking about the medical board role here in getting a physician to confront and deal with and maybe keep his license because he or she has shown the capability to adjust, to practice better, let's say, to use better care, and that it is the investigation and the examination itself which is setting up this admission against interest, which otherwise would probably not exist. Would you comment on that?
You know, I don't know exactly how much self-awareness plays into the medical board decision, but I think ultimately it comes down to, did you make a mistake or not? You know, and I suppose the next question is, if you did make a mistake, what are you going to do about it? But you know, I think that's really a smaller part of the process. The bigger process is, you know, did you make a mistake or did you not? And if you did, we're gonna punish you accordingly. I would acknowledge that maybe the self-assessment, the self-awareness could play a small role in that, but I think really it's very similar to what the doctor would experience in the civil litigation context. Your Honors, I would also note that there are numerous instances in which the medical board, which is made up of doctors, has failed to discipline or has inadequately disciplined other doctors. I've been in several such cases myself where the medical board, you know, let the doctor off, and ultimately, you know, there's judgment against the doctor for negligence. But, you know, even if allowing discovery of these records could have some minimal impact on board investigations, as Justice Hobbs was concerned about, the board's position ignores one important fact, which is this. The civil litigation process also plays a vital role in weeding out unqualified doctors. We firmly believe that, Your Honor. Lawsuits are not just about money damages, they're also about weeding out unqualified doctors. And I just want to briefly read this section from the letter that was written by my clients to the medical board as follows. I'm a practicing Christian, and it is a truly gut-wrenching feeling to accuse this doctor of wrongdoing. He is human and makes mistakes, but considering Dr. Simon's substandard care of our mother throughout her care with him and what's happened to all those other patients of his that we know about, we consider it a civic duty for this family to report this experience to you. We will also be filing a complaint with the Board of Medical Examiners. Actually, this was the letter written to the hospital. I'm sorry. But, you know, and that's their motivation now as well. I mean, yes, they're suing for money damages, but, you know, a civil judgment is something that can weed out bad doctors. And prior to 2008, you know, that was manifested by making doctors uninsurable, resulting in published cases against them, or possibly negative media exposure. But since this year, July of this year, it's been particularly important that the civil litigation process be allowed to proceed because of the Michael Skolnick Medical Transparency Act, which says judgments and settlements have to be posted on a website available to the public. And this information has a great potential to weed out bad doctors through the market system. You go on that website, you see your doctor up there, and you decide not to use him. Or you see a doctor you're considering and you decide not to use that doctor. And you know, that's a great value, a great benefit to the consumers of this state, the patients of this state. And by shutting that down, Your Honors, you're closing down another avenue of weeding out unqualified doctors.
Excuse me, what would we be shutting down? The ability of you to bring a complaint, a plaintiff's personal injury complaint?
All right.
A medical malpractice complaint?
No.
It doesn't connect up for me.
All right. You would be making it more difficult, for patients to vindicate their rights and to vindicate the rights of future patients, future potential patients, by getting a judgment against an unqualified doctor. Be making it more difficult. If I can't get the information, just to apply to this case, if I can't get the information that I've asked for from Dr. Simon,
which is the medical board records,
which is his, yeah, and as we've clarified now, his self-assessment of what happened, he claimed in his deposition that he didn't do anything wrong. Everything was.
So there should be no privilege applicable to any litigation because it makes it harder for the plaintiff to prove the case.
I think there's privileges, Your Honor, but I'm not asking the court to to eviscerate all Colorado law. I'm just, there's clearly privileges, there's attorney-client privilege, among others, but I'm just asking this court to allow us to discover the medical board records that we have subpoenaed. That's all you want.
Well, and Mr. Viewers, to return you to the question of the extent of that ruling, if we interpret 1236.118.10 the way you have urged, then will we not have opened the beyond what is at issue in this case? We'll have opened the board records to your subpoena power as well.
Yes, I think I am asking that. I mean, I acknowledge I'm asking that, and I think a balancing test might be appropriate, a protective order might be appropriate. But yes, I'm asking that. But if the court wants to limit it to this case, I mean, we'll take whatever the court will give us. But ultimately, I am asking that those records be available from the medical board as well as from the doctor. I'm asking that. So, as applied to this case then, Your Honors, we've got a doctor who received a letter of admonition relating in 2004 relating to his care of four patients, two of whom died. We believe that there's a legitimate question as to whether appropriate action was taken in 2004, and that we believe perhaps Ms. DeSantis' death could have been avoided if appropriate action had been taken at that time. And even though he's got a license, even though his license has been suspended, now he's still eligible to apply for reinstatement. And if this court makes its rule absolute, it will be saying that the estate of Ms. DeSantis, which now stands in her shoes, as well as her heirs who put this investigation in motion, or one of the parties that put it in motion, are not entitled to see the results of that investigation. And they may thereby be prohibited or prevented from vindicating not only their rights through the civil justice system, but also from protecting others in the future. And we believe that such a result would be legally and philosophically wrong. Thank you.
I'd ask the court, I want to thank both counsel for your arguments. The case will stand submitted. The court